Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, it's a beautiful day in Southern California, and I am so excited about the person that we're going to be speaking with this morning. It's Pam Spinozzi from Bethel Church, and she's in charge of writing down and keeping track of all the testimonies of the miraculous things that prayer causes. It's just wonderful. The title today is We Pray, So How Do We Know It Really Works? And Pam is going to tell us how do we know it really works. But before we talk with her, I'm going to give you a little fast food. John 4:39. This makes me weep to even say, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And that's exactly what we're going to hear about today. Pam?
Hello.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you.
So I'm so excited to hear all the stories of the miraculous. One of the wonderful things that Bill Johnson, who is pastor there at Bethel, has said that testimonies are when heaven touches the earth. And I think it's so true because we experience the miraculous. And if people don't write them down, we forget about them. It's just the way human beings' brains work. And you have the most magnificent job of keeping track and writing these down. It's just a marvelous thing that you do.
Well, thank you. It is a blessing. It's edifying, for sure.
I'll bet. Well, can you tell us some of the more fun testimonies you've experienced and heard about and written about?
Yes, I am happy to. One of my favorites, it's a short one, but it was so impressive to me. I was sitting in one of our conferences, and Pastor Bill just matter-of-factly declared, it's normal for tumors to disappear. And the man sitting next to me grabbed his side, on which he had two tumors, and realized that they were gone. And he exclaimed, oh, my tumors are gone. And I just thought that was so much fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm happy that I was sitting there.
Yes, what a faith builder that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, you know, the thing about testimonies is, you know, Pastor Bill had this quickening of that verse in Revelation where it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And he just realized that, you know, declaring a testimony causes it to happen again. And so we have lots of testimonies of people who got healed hearing a testimony. The first time I ever heard him speak was in a conference elsewhere, and he shared the testimony of a young man at a grocery store praying for a woman who was deaf and her ear opened up, and then he started praying for other people. And there was a man in the audience whose hearing aid suddenly got really loud when he heard that testimony. So he removed his hearing aids and realized he was healed, just hearing the testimony. And we've heard so many such testimonies.
That is miraculous. Just hearing a testimony can heal.
Yeah,
I did not know
really.
That. I have never heard that. I love
yeah,
that.
I guess it just quickens a person's faith, and then they just receive. We've had a series of bipolar healings, and most of them have happened when somebody heard the testimony. One time in our church service, a man was sitting there, and he saw in his spirit two polar bears, and he was thinking, What's that mean, Lord? And then he realized that God wanted to heal bipolar. Isn't that fun? Bipolar. So he went up to the pastor and said, I feel like I have a word of knowledge from the Lord that he wants to heal bipolar. So then, the pastor just shared some testimonies, and a couple of guys in that meeting were healed. So that was really exciting.
Praise God. Praise God. And that's like a very serious illness, just like tumors are. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And one of the former leaders of the healing rooms, he now lives back in his own country, Chris Gore. But when he was here, he was teaching a class at our school of ministry, and he was talking about the woman with the issue of blood. And he was standing in front of a man, and he thought, I'm just going to move over and stand in front of a woman when I talk about this. And he did, and that woman ran out of the room because she had, I think, endometriosis or something, and she suddenly started her period after not having had it. So he didn't know that. She came and told him a week later that God had healed her of the issue that she had. So then he shared that testimony, and every time he shared it, somebody else would get healed, and it got to the point where he'd received over 50, maybe even more than that, testimonies from women who just would hear the testimony and get healed of some kind of female issue like that. So that was just a string of testimonies over and over.
Oh,
you know,
wonderful.
Testimonies,
wonderful.
Begetting testimonies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I pray that someone is healed from hearing your stories.
Yeah, amen.
Yes.
Well, I have a few more if you'd like me to share them.
Absolutely. Don't stop.
I love this one. It was from a pastor. I believe he was from Colorado. That he had a healing rooms in his church. And he got up one morning on a Sunday morning, and the Lord said, you're going to see something extraordinary today. So he was excited, and he prayed for people in the service, but nothing seemed to happen, nothing extraordinary. So he thought, well, I'm going to a wedding this afternoon. Maybe it'll happen there. So he went to the wedding, and nothing extraordinary happened there. So then he thought, all right, I'm going to go to the mall and try to pray for people there. And he would ask people if he could pray for them, and most of them refused to let him. So then at some point he just got tired, and he thought, I'm just going to rest. So he sat and took a nap on one of the chairs at the mall, and a Catholic priest woke him up and said that he and this other man had been waiting for him all day. And he said, excuse me? And so here is the story. The other man came from somewhere in Latin America. I believe it was Honduras. And he had a little girl who had fallen out of a tree. And they lived in a rural area. And she'd never gotten, her leg wasn't set properly. It had broken. And she couldn't walk on that leg. And so he didn't even speak English, but he told his priest that he had a dream about a man wearing a particular colored shirt who was going to be at the mall, and he was going to pray for his daughter and she would be healed. So they had been there for hours waiting for this man. And when they saw this pastor, he was dressed just like the man in his dream. So they went up to him and said, you need to pray for this little girl. So the pastor told the child to stand on her good leg and he would pray. But she misunderstood and thought he told her to run. And she ran, and as she ran, she was completely healed. So
oh,
that
my
indeed
goodness.
Was extraordinary.
Yes, yes. Oh, my goodness. And he was so obedient.
Mm-hmm.
He was so obedient.
Right.
The Lord told him that a miraculous thing was going to happen, and he went after it.
Right. He expected it. So
yes.
He just kept, you know, looking for it. But
yeah.
I love that father was not willing to leave for hours until he saw the man in his dream. He also was obedient, you know.
Yes.
It's a really sweet, sweet story.
Yes, very sweet story.
We've had loads of testimonies of, so years ago, I started this job in 2006, and I think it was that year, I got three phone calls of people asking us, do you have testimonies of autism healings? And one phone call was from Canada, one was from Australia, and I wrote their names down. I said, I'll contact you when we do. I don't have anything at the moment. Well, since then, we've had quite a number of them from here and from elsewhere, and I thought I would share a few of those if you like.
Oh, absolutely, so, because that's certainly something where people think it's just hopeless and permanent forever. So,
yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is a fun one that somebody shared with me. A woman in Oregon had a 6 or 7 year old child who had autism, and she had him repeating all day long, "I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed," because he liked to be repetitious. So he said it, he spoke that over himself all day long, "I'm healed, I'm healed." And one day he got off the school bus and said to her, "Hi, Mom, what's for dinner?" And that was a clear indication to her that he was indeed healed, because he'd never uttered a sentence like that before. So
oh my
I just
God.
Love that. Yeah.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then there was in Australia, we got the testimony of a 19-year-old man who was diagnosed with Asperger's. And he was introduced to revival at the age of 16. And he, his mother taught him to soak before the Lord, you know, wait on the Lord while worship was going on and just rest in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard the Lord say, "Come soak with me." And while he was soaking, he heard the Lord say, "You don't need this anymore." And the Lord just took it away. And then he was completely different after that. He was undiagnosed, pronounced free of Asperger's. And his therapist said, "You're like a man released from prison." And he's now an artist, a musician, and a relentless revivalist. Isn't that
beautiful?
Oh,
my gosh. Yes, that gives me chills just hearing that story.
Yeah, I love that. In Fort Worth, Texas, a 17-year-old girl had been diagnosed with Asperger's as a child. And she and her family left the church they had been attending. And then at some time later, they went back for a meeting with a visiting speaker. And the pastor, without even thinking, hugged the girl. And normally she would not have allowed that, but she allowed it. And she was healed in that moment. And she, too, was undiagnosed. And and then there's another one. Another was reading When Heaven Invades Earth, one of Pastor Bill's, his first book. She was reading it to her son, who had Tourette syndrome, and he was healed. And God has spoken recently to the Healing Rooms leaders that autism is going to fall, and he's shown them the connection between worship and healing, and they feel like, you know, in that deep place of worship, we're going to see more things like that that affect the brain healed. So it's pretty exciting.
You know, music is so powerful. And I was just listening to a show the other day where these women pastors were talking about the importance of worshiping during trials.
Yeah.
That when things are really bad, worship. Worship.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that that fits perfectly with that. I love that message about autism, because it is such a devastating disorder.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, I know. So it's really exciting that the things that man can't fix, God can. Oh, I want to tell you this testimony. I think this is so remarkable. A young man was in an automobile accident that affected his brain. And the Lord told, I don't know if it was him or his dad, I think it was him, the Lord told him to learn Chinese. And he did, and it fixed it. And I just
oh, my gosh.
Something about, so, and he went on to marry a German woman and do his master's degree in the German language in Germany. So I just think that's healed.
Very
you know.
Remarkable. Very remarkable.
Yes.
You had mentioned to me something that happened on an airplane.
Oh, yes. I'd love to read you the story. This was given to us by a pastor from Denver in 2008, and it's just one of my favorites. I'm just going to read the whole thing, if that's okay.
Please do.
It's just
please
really
do, yeah.
Remarkable. So it's from his, in his own words. He said, "Our church has a passion to see the kingdom of God ministered by everyday saints in our city and the nations." And so in January 2008, I was flying home from Europe after ministering in Africa at a leaders' conference for the release of the kingdom healing and the Father's love. Little did I know that God was wanting to show me that the power of the kingdom was coming home to the U.S. in new ways, and that he intended to heal many on the airplane. We were about an hour into the air when the stewardess gave us drinks. I was drinking Diet Coke and wearing a white shirt when accidentally the stewardess bumped my arm and pop went everywhere. My shirt was stained and I felt some frustration, but I immediately felt the presence of God come on me, and I knew I was not to get angry. The stewardess helped me as best she could clean up the mess. She was very surprised I didn't lose it. I realized now that the enemy was trying to stop what God had in mind. I looked across the aisle and saw a lady squirming in her seat. I wondered what her problem was. The Lord told me she'd hurt her back 2 weeks earlier, and he wanted me to pray for her. I was tired and just wanted to read my book and watch a movie, so I initially told the Lord no. Isn't it funny? God often wants to use us when we least feel like it, but God wouldn't let me go. After quite a few exchanges with the Lord, I finally said, okay, fine, Lord, I will pray for her. I leaned across the aisle and asked the lady if she'd hurt her back 2 weeks earlier. That got her attention, and she asked how I knew that. I explained that the Lord had told me, and I also told her about my recent travels in Africa. Then I asked her if I could pray for her. She said yes. Then I asked if I could lay my hand on her shoulder. She looked at me and said, oh, you mean now? I told her I didn't believe God wanted her in pain for the next 8 hours. As I prayed for her, the Holy Spirit fell on her, and she fell out of her seat and landed on the floor of the aisle.
Oh,
as the stewardess came around the corner, greatly concerned, and asked if we needed a doctor. I was trying to explain what had happened, that God was ministering to her and that the lady was fine. As we talked, the lady came out of it, and the stewardess asked if she was okay. The lady said, yes, I'm fine, and hey, my back doesn't hurt. I started to explain about the lady's back when she cut me off. She told the stewardess all about how she hurt her back on ice 2 weeks earlier and that this pastor prayed for her and she was totally healed. Caught off guard and aware God was present, the stewardess said she had hurt her knee 4 weeks ago and was in constant pain. She asked if I would pray for her. I said yes. Then she got a really serious look and asked if she would fall down. I said, I don't know. I prayed for her also, and God healed her knee on the spot. As I got up to go back to my seat, there were three people lined up in the aisle asking for prayer. Apparently, others had noticed what was going on. I felt the Lord urging me to continue. As I started to pray for the first lady, I suddenly heard over the intercom the stewardess that I had prayed for saying that there was a pastor on board who had been in Africa praying for healing, and that when he prayed for her and the woman with the bad back, both had been healed. She said, if anybody needs healing, they should come to the galley between coach and first class, and he would pray for them. I thought to myself, here we go. Then a large gentleman came up to me. He was from England. He asked if he could catch for me. I thought, thank you, Lord. At least there's someone else here who knows what's going on. For the next 2 hours, we had a healing service. At one point, the catcher came to me and said, you need to slow down. I'm running out of places to put people. I looked in the gallery and saw people lying everywhere. We had 5 salvations during our time, including one young man from Saudi Arabia. He was coming to the U.S. for surgery on his torn rotator cuff. He also had other damage to his shoulder. God healed him, and I told him it was Jesus who had healed him, who had touched him. He said, I know Jesus. I said to him, yes, you know who he is, but you need to know him as Savior. As we talked, he accepted the Lord. One of his traveling companions was a lady who came to me and said she was a Christian and would see that he got into a church. The people who didn't come forward for prayer were wide-eyed and looking over their seats throughout the cabin to see what was going on. When all was finished, I sat down and I picked up my book and laughed to myself. The book I was reading was Face to Face with God by Bill Johnson. I thought
God.
God certainly does have a sense of humor, for this indeed was a Bill Johnson moment. Everyday saints doing this stuff. Anyway, praise God for his wonderful love and desire to use any of us in his service. And then he said, feel free to share this testimony. So,
fabulous.
God.
Absolutely,
yeah,
fabulous. You know, one of the things you said to me when we talked earlier is that there's an atmosphere of a testimony culture at Bethel Church. And I love that. I love that. If people don't, you know, if they don't hear testimonies and they don't remember them, it to me it's a great loss.
Yeah. So what I meant by that was that that we are used to stewarding testimonies. We're used to hearing them. When we have a problem, we'll say, hey, do you have a testimony about, you know, tennis elbow? You know, like we want to hear a testimony about it. And I think that what it does is it causes us to have expectations of good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you feed on what God has done, you have an expectation of good. Whereas when you feed on the negative, you have an expectation of problems, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's become so that we are expecting healing because we've heard about so many. And
do you think that's a common ingredient in healing and in healing testimonies, is there's always an expectation of healing?
I think God heals in all kinds of ways, and sometimes he heals people that aren't expecting it, but I think it certainly helps. You know, I mean,
yeah.
He loves faith. He's attracted to faith. And I do believe that remembering what he's done for you is really powerful. Like I had a friend once who was going through a terrible financial crisis. And so we got together and we would pray and stuff. And I said, write down your testimonies. What has God done for you before when it comes to this kind of thing? And she remembered that he had done a lot of things. So she got this little book and she started writing all the times that he had provided for her, all the times he'd given her work when she needed it. And she meditated on that and declared, you know, you declare his scriptures. What does his word promise? And you remind yourself what he's done. And he gave her this amazing job and got her out of that crisis. And she'll never forget that. And I remember one time Eric Johnson said when he was a newlywed and he and his wife had a financial need and God met that need. And he said, we can never again doubt that God will take care of our, or like have a doubt about finances because we've seen him, you know, move, right? And so it's a really good thing to fill your mind with. I personally believe that the problem of the Israelites in the desert was that they kept forgetting what God had done for them. He had done so many miraculous things.
Mm-hmm.
But every time they had another need, all they could see was the need and not remember what he'd already done. So,
and that's why what you do is so important.
Mm-hmm.
So important,
yeah.
because it is a tangible evidence of the testimony. Do you ever doubt any testimonies that you hear?
That's a good question. I tend not to, unless the only time I guess I would is if it's like third hand and somebody says, you know, well, I think something happened to somebody that they knew that. I'd be like, well, try to get the information, you know. But no,
yeah.
I expect that people aren't going to tell me something unless it's true.
Especially if it's specific and first person. Yeah, you would tend to believe it.
I've heard some pretty crazy things, and I still believe them because I know that God does some pretty crazy things. I mean, the Bible is full of crazy miracles, you know?
Yes.
Parting the Red Sea is pretty crazy. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that it sounds like something God would do. I forgot to tell you this one. I had told you this one before. I love this. There's a highway patrol officer in another state, and the Lord will give him a word of knowledge, like, pull that car over right there. And so, for example, like, he'll find a reason to pull a car over because he knows it has drugs because the Lord showed him that. So
mm-hmm.
he'll pull them over. He'll search their car. He'll find the drugs. And then he'll say, okay, I'm going to arrest you, but before I do, I want to take you to coffee and explain to you how I knew you had drugs in your car. And then he'll tell them that the Lord showed him. And then he'll lead them to the Lord usually. And then he arrests them. I just love that.
I love that too. I love that too.
Yeah.
It's a very fatherly move.
It is, and I love the way that people can be used of God on their job. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a prophet. In your everyday life, he wants to touch the people around you. He wants to speak to. We had this testimony of a carpool. There were four people in a carpool, and one of them died on the way. and it was going to be a while before they could even pull over because it was a six-lane highway or something, and somebody in the carpool raised that person from the dead in prayer, you know?
Oh, my
goodness. We never know when we're going to be in a crisis, and it's just pretty exciting. It's exciting to fill your spirit with these kind of stories so you could say to yourself, oh, I remember that guy, prayed for that guy, and he was raised from the dead, you know?
Yes, yes,
so even
absolutely.
If it's not your own testimony, it belongs to the whole body of Christ. Everybody's testimonies belong to all of us, and we can say, Lord, you did that for him, do it again.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Well, if people want to hear more, know more about the testimonies, where can they find that?
We do have a testimony section on our website, Bethel.com, so if you just look up testimonies. We have some of them on there. A lot of them were removed when we changed our website. We're in the long process of putting it back on, but there are some on there.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we have
your
testimony.
You cut out a little bit.
Me?
You cut out a little bit there. Could you repeat that thing?
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
We have a collection of testimonies on a theme in several books called Increase in our bookstore. One is about, I love it, it's medical healing. So it's medical personnel who pray for their patients and see miracles on the job. I love that one. It's called Medical Increase. We have one, children. So children praying for people or children being healed. It's a whole lot of testimonies about children.
Mm-hmm.
There's one, the Brave Co. group has an increased book about fathers, because that's a big deal. You know, a lot of people are fatherless. And,
right.
And there are a couple on, missions trips. So those are pretty exciting. Those are good gifts. We have the Change Movement has their testimony book about people who were in the homosexual lifestyle and they were set free and, you know, living in freedom.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So how would they access that? Is there a bookstore at Bethel they can contact?
Yeah, they could order it from our bookstore online.
Okay.
And,
And is that in the website? You go into the Bethel website and it has bookstore and you just click on it? Is that how
that
works?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And they can always call the church for info.
Wonderful.
They can't find something, I'm just looking. Resources. Yeah, if you go on our website to resources and then click store, and then it should have it.
And what I love about your testimonies that you shared with us is they aren't all just out of Bethel. They're from all over.
That's right, because God is on the move. Yes, okay, so I went to the bookstore and I pressed Increase, and it pulls up those Increase books.
Wonderful. So those people in our listening audience that want more, I mean, I want to order several of those books right now because they're so encouraging.
Yeah,
so encouraging.
And they're beautifully done. They're like a coffee table book, you know, so you can give to somebody. Yeah.
Very, very lovely gifts, for sure.
Uh-huh.
It has been a joy talking with you, Pam. And
I
hope you realize what an important job you do, because it's, I think, essential. I think essential.
Yeah.
People need to know and need to remember.
And what I found out, when people hear that we steward testimonies, they start doing it too. And so it's contagious. Testimonies are contagious.
Yes, they are. A better contagion than the measles.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. And God bless you in this fabulous ministry.
Thank you. And God bless you in what you're doing. It's wonderful.
Thank you. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.